We're here this morning to baptize two sisters. This is Nicole, and this is Vanessa Yasumi. And Nicole, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
Then upon your profession of faith in Jesus, and in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And Vanessa, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
Then upon your profession of faith in Jesus, and in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Scripture comes from 2 Corinthians 12, chapter 9 and 10. But he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecution and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Thank you.
can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what He can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness He is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. We can only know the power that strength in us begins when our hearts comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again His strength.
Wasn't real. Sorry about that. I wasn't even sure I was going to do that, but the Spirit moved me. So, yeah, you can ask which Spirit if you want. Marlene didn't even know that I was going to do that. Anyway, sorry. Plug into the power. That's the sound of power. So we're going to think how we can plug into the power of God, the power of Christ. Well, how many remember the Beverly Hillbillies? Oh, you remember them, Steve? Oh, as young as you are. You grew up with them? Yeah, I thought so. Well, I think everybody here has probably seen the Beverly Hillbillies. Maybe Vanessa, have you seen them? Never? Oh. Well, anyway, the Beverly Hillbillies were from, I think, West Virginia or somewhere. I think maybe Tennessee. Well, anyway, back there somewhere. And they were these people from the hills. They didn't even have electricity. So they struck oil on their property. Is this kind of like your story, Steve? Yeah. You came to California. You came here seeking a fortune, not with a fortune, right? We love the Beverly Hillbillies because they make us laugh about their ignorance of electricity and modern conveniences. But I think there are a lot of Christians like that who seem to prefer to live in B.C. Now, you know what B.C. is, before Christ. And who fail to plug into the power. I know all of us are struggling with some issues of you know, is the Lord, is His grace sufficient? If you'll look back in that passage, this is one of two. Actually, there's another passage in Philippians. Really, there was more the verse that this song was taken from that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But here is another statement, if you will, of Paul's testimony. He had had a thorn in the flesh. He spoke of that earlier in the chapter there. I think certainly some ailment, some physical ailment. I think a thorn in the flesh would certainly give us that clear impression, I believe, that there was something physically wrong with Paul that he struggled with in his life that was perhaps painful, that was debilitating to the point where he prayed about it. He prayed about it three times, he said. And the third time the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So that really brings us to our passage here today. And what can we do? What can we learn from Paul to plug into the power of Christ, to have that power that Paul spoke of here that we need in our daily lives? There are three power principles, if you will, here that I'd like us to learn from. I know a little bit about electricity, but I'm not an expert like Dale, an electronics technician or electrical engineer, I believe. But I do know that there is great power in electricity. And there are principles that you must know in order to use electricity wisely, and not just wisely, but efficiently and to the empowerment of your life. Well, in like manner, there are principles here that we must know from the testimony of Paul here. God has seen fit to record this in His Word that we might learn what it was that made Paul so joyful, what it was that made him so victorious in Christ, and who made him such a blessing, not just to his generation, but down to us today. What are some power principles, if you will, that we can learn from Paul's example? Well, first of all, we can learn that there is power here from a sufficient supply. If we could look there at verse 9, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Now, you may have a newer translation that leaves out my. Don't let that bother you. I think there's a principle here that power is made perfect in weakness, and especially is Christ's power made perfect in weakness. I suppose because if we're not weak, then we don't really need the power, do we? If we're just strong in ourselves and every day we can just meet the problems and challenges and trials of life in our own strength, then we don't need Christ. But I think, like Paul, Christ gives us that thorn in the flesh to realize that our power, our strength, must be in Him. He is a sufficient supply. There's the source of that supply, of course, my grace, Jesus said. Grace is unmerited favor, we know that. But it's also strength. Strength for living for Christ. The strength that raised Christ from the dead is available to us. He's the source of that strength. Again, I want to encourage you to plug into Christ. If you've never asked Him to come into your life, ask Him to come into your life and to be your personal Lord and Savior, to be born again in Jesus, a new creature in Christ. All these are terms that the Bible uses for that new birth experience. But receive Him as your Savior, and you begin to plug in to the source of that power. Now, we have in all the places where we've lived, usually at least one outlet that doesn't work for some reason. And we soon learn not to plug anything in there because it doesn't work. Well, In the Christian life, you need to plug in to the right source, don't you? And Jesus is that source. The Bible says there's no other one who can bring salvation to your life and who can be the power source that you need than Jesus Christ. He's the only God. The Bible says there's only one God and one mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. So plug into Jesus and you'll have all the power that you need. There's a subject here, grace. My grace, Jesus said, is sufficient for thee. Now, he said that to Paul. I think Paul was at the end of his strength. He was ready to just, I think, say to the Lord, Lord, I can't stand this any longer. I have this affliction. And some believe it might have been his eyes. Some think that he might have had an eye disease. And there seems to be indications of that in the book of Galatians, if you remember reading that letter of Paul to the Galatians. How he spoke, they would have plucked out their eyes and given them to Paul. And so there seems to be this good support for this view that Paul had some kind of eye disease. We don't know what it was. I think it must have been unpleasant to look at, and certainly very much a problem to Paul in his ministry. You can just imagine. Here's a man who wants to read and who loves to read. He's a great mind. God created a great mind in him, a thirst for knowledge, a thirst for the word. And yet he had this thorn in the flesh he spoke of. And we don't know, again, exactly that's what it was. But I think it's the fact that we don't know will help us to be comforted, and because we also have thorns in the flesh, don't we? Terry, it's not Ed for you, and vice versa. It's not your wife or your husband. It's not your son or daughter, so don't say, oh, you know, I have this thorn in the flesh, and it's so-and-so. You may be a thorn in the flesh as well. We all are. But no, I think there's something that his own resources could not conquer. And so he prayed about it, prayed three times, and Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. He'll speak that to your heart. Whatever your problem, whatever your need, whatever it is you're struggling with now, his grace is sufficient for you. And then there's a supremacy here, because Paul said, or Jesus said rather, my power is made perfect in weakness. I think the Lord would like us to realize our weakness. I almost said, I think the Lord makes us weak. Well, he made us who we are. He created us out of dust, out of the elements of the earth. And he created us with this God image. We are the only creature of all God's creation, and he created spiritual beings as well as all of the animals and all of the stars and universe. But of all God's creations, we are the only ones said to be in God's image. But maybe that is why Jesus became a man, so that he might feel our weakness, that we might identify in his weakness. His weakness was really his strength, wasn't it? He surrendered his life to go and to be nailed on a cross as a helpless victim. But we know that he did that because he wanted to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He took our punishment. I think God looks down on us in our weakness, and he realizes that we need his help. And especially when we cry out for help, as Paul did, he is bound to give us that strength from a sufficient supply. His strength is made perfect in weakness. It's a sufficient supply. It's also for an efficient strength, from an efficient supply, and for an efficient strength. If we could look at that scripture there in verse 9, Paul said, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. Can't you just see Paul? Everywhere he went, he boasted about his weaknesses, because he realized that that was really the source of his strength. When our strength is gone, that's when Christ can come in and take over. That's what he wants to do. He's Lord, isn't he? That's what he's good at, taking over. Turn it over to him. The Bible says, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. But there seems to be a contradiction here. He said, I will most gladly glory in my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me. It's really not a contradiction logically, but it's a contradiction of the strength that we think we have Sometimes he'll make us weak to realize that we need him. So I want to encourage you to look to Christ, or look to Christ for the first time if you've never done so. Invite him into your life. Say, Lord, I need your strength. The Bible says, humble yourself under his mighty hand and he will lift you up. There's a concentration of that power as well. Here Paul said, I will more boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me. I think what Paul was saying, I almost wish I had more so that I could experience more of the power of Christ. I don't know whether you've ever prayed a prayer like that. I find it difficult to pray a prayer like that. Lord, make me weak. Make me helpless. Add to my trials and my problems so that I can realize more of your strength. Maybe because there's kind of a point there where maybe we might feel that God doesn't love us. And so there's a verse in the Bible about that. It says that he will not tempt us beyond what we are able, will with the temptation also give us a way to escape, that we may be able to bear it. There's consolation here. Consolation meaning comfort, isn't there? A comfort to know that when we are at our weakest point, that's when Christ can be strongest in us. And I know many of you are facing trials. I doubt if there's one person here that's not facing some kind of a trial in your life. But here is the strength that you need. Just read this over. Meditate upon it. Ask the Lord to help you apply it to your own life, that you might have that strength that he wants you to have. That power is from a sufficient supply. It's for an efficient strength. And it's by a patient surrender. Here, Paul said, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties. When I am weak, then am I strong. We see patience here, don't we? We see a willingness to not strike back when you're insulted. I don't like being insulted. I'm sure you don't like being insulted. But if you live for Christ, you're going to be insulted. You're going to be worse than that. You're going to have hardships. You're going to have persecutions. The Bible says all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. Difficulties, certainly. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. Well, there's dedication here in that patient surrender that we see in Paul here. He said, for Christ's sake, therefore, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses for Christ's sake. That's the dedication. I think it's the focus that made the difference in Paul's life. He realized what Christ did for him, how Christ endured, not only on the cross, but as he was going to the cross, the abuse of all who could strike out at him. That's what God did for you. That's what God did for me. He was willing to endure all of that abuse because he knew that without that, in his economy, he could not forgive us our sins. Because God required a perfect sacrifice for sin. And so Paul dedicated himself to Christ. And for Christ's sake, he said, I delight in weaknesses. There's a delight here. I only can say, I sometimes think, can that really be possible? And then God puts me in a situation where I have to practice this. And I think, well, indeed, that is a delight. It's a delight because doesn't the Bible say that for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross? And he wants to take us on that journey of the cross. He said, take up your cross daily and follow me. There's delight in that. I know it doesn't seem like there should be, but all who have followed that way know exactly what that delight is. And there's also a dynamic here because the word that's translated strong is the word we get our word dynamite from. Almost put an explosion up there when there was a hand plugging in a plug to the wall. But I thought, no, that might shake some people up. Maybe we might think it was a terrorist attack or something. And I don't want to send anyone into cardiac arrest. But know that there is great power here. There's great strength that is available to you, strength that cannot be contained. And there's really no excuse then for us to be weakling Christians, is there? There's no excuse for us to go around having our private pity parties, as we often do, and think, well, I just can't deal with this. Yes, you can. You can't, but Christ can through you. That's what I think is the lesson here for us, if we will apply it to our lives.